And we can start. So hello everyone again. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome in our ACE JavaScript weekly call. And yeah, I think we can start. I see a lot of stuff in here. So maybe first question, as always, do you have anything you would like to discuss today, which is not in agenda yet?
I'm not sure if you have added the documentation. Timo,
here is.
You talk about it.
Yeah, I added a link to your chart, Lucid chart design.
Perfect. Good.
Great. Okay, so yeah, we can start with the first point, which is a huge announcement we were waiting for quite a long time. And it's finally here. No, it's not. You just wanted to mention that I already merged Rune in the SDK repository from APSA open source GitHub account to Hyperledger. So it's already there. I preserved all contributions, so we have just one merge commit, one and only probably merge commit here, to have nice history. But from now on, we will continue, I guess, with rebasing and not merge commits as we are used to in ACE framework JavaScript. I'm gonna probably move issues also from the iron in the SDK repo to this repo, and then we can archive the iron in the SDK repo. Important thing is that I rebased all commits in iron in the SDK repository because I didn't sign off my commits there, and I kind of assume that to merge something to Hyperledger repo, I would need to add these sign offs. But probably it was necessary, maybe. So because I add checks for these DCO checks and reviewer checks, I add in settings here after I merge everything. So it happened already. So we can say retake this step. So for you guys who already forked the iron in the SDK repo, that could be a problem, but I guess there wasn't so much work in progress, so we can start forking from this repo right now. I will write a message into Rocket Chat about this step and about the consequences. And there was one PR about export-import, so I think we can open it here. It shouldn't be such a change, a lot of changes. I mentioned the link to the changes in the PR in the SDK, so we can just put it in here.
Yeah, I think we need to fork this repo and merge it into here. I don't think you can create a pull request to if you didn't fork from this repo to this repo, but we can do that. We'll just push to we'll create a fork, push to there, and open a pull request.
I think it should be so big problem to just create a new fork. So that's it. Any other questions about this?
So what is the difference, Jacob, between this and RNSDK?
No difference. The difference is that now it's more of a community project with contributors and maintainers from different areas and different places around the world. So that's basically it, but no big difference. And I also changed the name of the package. So I assume that when we do the next npm publish, it will be this under this name in NPM. Hopefully it's not taken or already. I didn't check that. So, but yeah, I think then we need to solve it.
And the old RNNE SDK would be, or just RNNE, that would be still available though, correct?
Yeah, that's still, and it before will be available. And yeah, I'm going to just archive that repo. The package, I think, will be there anyway. Like NPM package will be there anyway. So I will leave it there.
And you can maybe deprecate after it.
Okay, yeah, that's...
Then when you, like with a message, year. And then you can say like, it's deprecated, install yeah. this package instead. And, yeah, and people can still use it, but just like they get a warning.
That's a good point. So yeah, I need to do that, to remember that. Hopefully I will remember that.
One thing also of note is, I believe there was some issues that were created in the RNNE SDK repo that maybe you all need to keep aware of, like GitHub issues.
Yeah. I said I move it. I will move it. I will move them in here.
I missed that there.
Yeah. So okay.
Do you want me to add a release CI that we can do like with the workflow dispatch that you can just press like the button in here and it will release a new version? Like we don't have to do the same strategy as with AFJ on every commit, but we can just do like that you go to the actions page, you can just click the button and it will release a new version.
Yeah, that would be nice. So cool. Yeah.
Well, you have to indicate in the old repo that you have moved to a new one.
In the archive repo, I should mention that it's been moved to this one. That's a good point. And also, we should update. I think we have few mentions of that RNNE SDK in the framework, so we should update it also there. Everything should work right now, so we don't have to, you know, it's nothing, everything should work still, so nothing critical, I would say.
Nice. Good.
Okay, so yeah, I think that's all about this one. Okay, next step, auto acceptation. I think I kind of understood everything because I at this point here, and then I was reading, I still was like, I was reading after I added this point to the agenda, I was reading it and trying to understand what's going on there. So actually I think I am already like I already finally understand what's going on there. Just maybe, yeah. So maybe I have a question. I will bring Aries RFCS issue credential here. If I understand it correctly, that exception of this content approved case is only related to this point in the flow and to this point in the flow. Is it correct? So does it mean like when I as an issuer I can decide in this point during the flow that from this point on forward, I would like to accept every message which will came here. And the same is for the holder. Is that right? Or
yeah, I think so. As long as it doesn't change anything, no attributes, no credential ID change, then it will just continue the flow.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, and it's the case when as a holder I'm accepting an offer, but as an issuer, I'm accepting proposal, right? Okay. So yeah, I was a little bit confused about that because at first I thought it's only about the holder. So it sounds like auto accept credential when I'm accepting the credential. So maybe that's something I was confused a little bit about, and maybe I don't know. It's a question if it should be like explicit, like auto accept offer and then auto accept proposal, or auto accepting offer, or auto issuance credential, something like that. I'm not sure. You know, maybe that could be somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, it's kind of weird, you know, to name it, because you are accepting. It's auto accept of credential and then auto issuance of credential, maybe, from the issuer point of view. So that's my like confusion. You know, I wasn't sure about that.
But do you mean to like separate them into two configurations? Because I think we just the same configuration applies to both. In most cases.
Not necessarily, but maybe the name of that configuration, like auto accept credential issuance, auto accept credential.
But then
it. Yeah, as I said, it's a little bit weird, you know, because auto accept is of the credential issuance is correct from both point of view. So that's a little bit hard to name it, like to make the difference by naming, because this name, as I just said, is correct actually. So I don't know.
Is the content approved applicable for the issuer? Because the content,
I think so. Right? Is it yeah. like content approved yeah. is for the issue, but for the issuance part?
Well,
yeah.
Can it change between the offer and the request, essentially? Because if we follow the flow, the holder receives the offer, and if the data is not correct, then they have to propose a new credential. Otherwise, they send the request credential corresponding with the offer. So I don't think once they hit that yes, I don't think it changes. I might be wrong, but.
Yeah, but so if you receive a proposal, then you don't want to, there are two modes with always. Let's say I create an offer for another party and I have auto accept content approved. That means I have approved the content I want to issue. If the holder then makes a proposal, I won't issue it because I haven't approved that content. If I have the mode to always, when the holder sends a new proposal, I'll just issue it because I don't care about the content. So there's a difference between the two in how they work. And I think especially if we look at like the more, like indie doesn't include anything new in the request. It's just like a request for the offer and you can't like change, but that's not really the case for, I think, what's it called, the JSON-LD credentials, where you need to provide some input in the request, which can be like, for example, also with Indo, you can provide a DIT for the holder, like, and you just always use that, but maybe with JSON-LD credentials, when the holder provides a credential subject, that could be a possible use case, but it could also be that you don't want the holder to do that, which makes request another point where like content yep. needs to be approved to proceed.
That makes sense in a non-indie case. That makes sense. I do have a little bit of concern about the always flow from the issuer point of view, because I think it could be dangerous to have the issuer automatically issue attest to information, whatever the holder requests, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I also support that. That the most focus should be like on presenting what exactly should I accept before going into accepting.
I think this is more as something like And Kapai also has it. Like you can just like have all the configuration options to make completely automated. Do you want to use it in a production environment? No. Is it easy for development? Yes. So we just like, we didn't want to limit the functionality because mostly because always is the easiest one to implement. Like content approved is requires complexity because we need to do a lot of checks. We can just remove always. It's like just if always do the next step. We can just remove it if that's what people want. We thought it's like with the added complexity, it may be worth it.
Well, as long as the two options are there, that's okay. As long as I can just change it from the settings or something like I always approve or not, that's okay. But
just the setting.
That's the documentation that we will argue today is based on the user experience point of view that we have to go into the detailed steps.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. That like this is something that still needs to be documented, and we'll we'll get that documented to make sure to explain what the different options are, and also mention that like always is not something you would want to use in almost all the production use cases.
Yeah,
I'd be good to log a warning or something if people do in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. So it's. I think this is exactly about what you all just said. It's about good like awareness and documentation of the behavior, maybe good default setting, because now it's never maybe more like, as far as I know the cases, the most common is the content approve actually case. So that's the another one. And also about warnings and something like that. So this is kind of not about the logic, how it's implemented right now, and more about this stuff around that. But you know, I have two questions. So one is about that validation, but let's put it aside. My question is, what if I as issuer sent offer to the holder? Then, you know, if it starts that I send like offer to the holder, what's the process? You know, when the holder accept the offer, will be like the issuer side automated or not with content approved? Or what should be like? So that's something I still not understand, you know? If I want to automate other steps, if I like send offer, so send credential offer, and I want, if the holder accept the offer, I want the rest of the flow automated. Should I set like always or content approved?
Content approved.
Yeah. Okay.
As long as there's no negotiation on the holder side, then content approved will just accept it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So that was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Yeah. So. Because as you all know, I'm just talking from the user experience point of view. The thing is, the user only cares about one thing. It's just what exactly should I accept as a certificate? You know, as a credential. Once I do accept that credential that is being presented, it's not a good idea to do any kind of pop-ups again. Everything should be automated until I go to the tab that I have, what is my credential? And I see the credentials in the other tab. And I think that is how it's applied in StreetCred and how it's applied in the other wallet.
I think I agree on that note. Like we want, and this is exactly why we implemented content approved, because we look at the flow, and most of the times, either as an issuer, you want to say, I want to issue this credential. And if the other party just goes along with it, I want to issue it. And it goes also the other way around. As a holder, when I receive an offer, I often want to approve it and just say, if nothing changes, automate the process. What we didn't automate yet, and I think before we do that, I would like to first have some experience working and building on this. It's like, all right, let's say the other party did change something in their interaction. How do we handle that? I think there are a few ways. You can either say, I want to completely do that manually because I have a very custom UX in my app and I want to do something with it. Or we could maybe later add a setting. If a person does that for this credential, I just want you to send a problem report or just ignore it or that kind of stuff. But I think it's very hard to like see the flows that we want to build on top of the content approved at the moment. And I think content approved already provides like the solution for almost all cases we have at the moment. And I think from the most ones I've seen in the other implementations also.
Yeah. Okay, so you know, that question I asked about that send credential offer, that was kind of because, you know, I didn't approve anything in that case. I didn't approve proposal, but it's still automated, the rest of it. So that's what I wasn't sure about that. But now I, you know, it makes sense now, but that was my point, like, you know, if we describe it, it's like it's not it, until it's not approved, it's not automated, then it doesn't make so much sense in this case, you know, because I didn't approve anything, but it's still automated. So that was my confusion. Well,
but I think we've been like, I've had multiple discussions with parents about this. Like we've really been thinking about the naming of this and changed it multiple times. It's a bit hard, but in the end we came up with like if you create an offer, like it's implied that you approve the content because you made the offer.
Yeah. Like the naming is that's okay. I'm like kind of good with this. Content approved, but I'm just trying, you know, to explain with I was confused with the explanation in the comments that, you know, it's automated for like everything in the flow, but it depends on propose and offer. So it was like counterintuitive, you know, these two sentences to me was counterintuitive, but right now I see it's really about this point in the flow, in like accepting the proposal on the issuer side, and the similar, it's about this point in the flow, this one point in the flow from the holder perspective. That's something I was like confused how it is, and that's what I that maybe this is what we just need to explain in documentation.
Jacob, may I ask what is implemented right now?
Excuse me.
What is implemented right now in the AAJ?
Like each of those cases, or
is that supported right now? This flow?
Yeah. This flow is supported, and exactly like this content approval is about this if statements. I don't know what's the name for this
state diagram
or what is it. So it's supported, you know, that use case as we described, it's when the user can approve the offer, when a user approves the offer, then the rest of it is automated.
Okay, perfect.
Can you propose a new credential in response to an offer right now, or is that flow not supported? I don't know.
New credential to offer, like
so the holder received an offer, the data is not correct, so they propose a new credential.
Yeah, I think that's
implemented that right.
Yeah,
negotiation is now it's in the same PR, a negotiation on proposal and on offer. You can with both ways,
yeah. And I think the automation was there before, right? Like this. When you accept the offer, it was there before. What we just add is the negotiation and the attribute to not to do it automatically or do everything automatically?
I removed the automation because how it was first implemented is you had no choice. It would just do like, if you accept a credential, it would automate the flow. But it didn't check if the values matched in the start. So like I removed those when I overhauled the issue credential to be implemented later when we like did make it configurable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and so maybe about the validation. You think that we shouldn't validate, we shouldn't do the validation if it's if the auto accept is set to always? We shouldn't validate like that the definition wasn't changed or the values aren't like the same?
Well, that was the point of content approved, is that it's the same. And with always, you shouldn't use it in production, but it just doesn't matter what happened to the credential.
And always, it could make sense to throw a warning at that case.
A warning, maybe, yeah.
Okay. So I see that the default option should be the content approve, I guess.
Yeah.
And the always.
Why not never?
Maybe. I don't know. But to me, as Timo said, and maybe James, you know, the common use case is when you as issuer accept the proposal, and similarly as holder, if you accept the offer, then you expect that the rest is automated. Yeah. So, of course, it's better than all. So I think content approved or never, maybe never is more safe. And then, you know, the developer really needs to understand what he is doing, and then he needs to read the documentation. So that's I would probably prefer to have content approved as default. That's just my opinion, but
it brings an interesting thought from my point of view of would it make more sense to have the checking of whether or not the issuance or the offer has changed from the proposal, that stage there, have that checking be done in the actual credential module, no matter whether or not it's automated, because on a never case or automation never, I may want to know, receive a warning or something where I have to specify in that function that I want to override that kind of functionality.
That's good. And that's actually, that's what I'm curious about, because right now the validation happens related to content approve, but not in other case, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. So what do you think, guys?
I had a discussion with this with Berend about this earlier today, and then we came up with we could expose the APIs to do the checking yourself. Another thing we could do is we only do the checking now if it's content approved. We could say we just always do the checking and we add some metadata to the record. So even if it's not automated, you have the required metadata to check if this is the case. Or we don't even need to store it. We could compute it at the moment, but should be possible to do.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. So adding the possibility for the controller, the one who's the developer of the controller, to pass in a callback functions that so that he can override that checking is really a very great idea. So the default is there, but if you want to override some of those checks, you can pass in a callback function, like a delegate function, to be able to override that. That happens in every programming language. Very great idea.
So we could take the approach of it's a separate call that you make prior to actually continuing the flow in the never case, or you could do it in the actual, just the regular flow in the module itself, and you have to pass it a option to override that behavior. So it returns with an error if the two don't match, and you have to specify an option in order to continue.
Mm.
I would say you can write it with a callback function that you can handle everything as a controller can just jump in and go into details of matching those fields and or maybe returning true if we just accept override. That would be a good option.
Yeah, but then then it's the. Like the idea of moving it more into the core functionality, the validation part is then even more like important than because, in the core, the validation will happen, but then you can maybe handle how you react to validation or if you want to stop when it fails of, so it will be like in the core, but you can say you want to, how to handle the validation result. Maybe so
that won't be enough, right? I mean the validation result, because I think Mustafa has a good point, is when you just provide a validation function yourself, so there is one by default, but if you provide one, then you have all the control. For instance, I don't care if name is not there, but H should always be there or whatever, and otherwise you just get a no or a yes. And it's a bit more, I don't know, you lose a lot of information, I guess.
No, but we can, I think, I don't think we should make it like a callback function that you provide. I think you can, the better way and the more easy way to do it now, we can always change later, is to say you set it to never. We expose the APIs to do the checks yourself. And you just listen to updates like the event listener, and you see if there's an action and it has never, you can do the logic and then call the module yourself. But we provide some tools from inside the framework to decide whether you want to take the next step in the exchange.
Yeah, something like that. Like I don't want to go into details how it will be implemented or if it's callback good or not. That's maybe different decision, but
I'll create an issue and I'll say like what the pain points are of the current implementation, and then we can provide all like our input, and we can come up with like a way to make improvements that works for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to say for you, Timo, that we should start from what is currently there, a current implementation, and try to enhance it as opposed to creating something totally from scratch while we still doesn't have all the documentation ready. So exactly. Like Timo said, we should have, like if we are going to do that, we might do it on a very slight change or improvement to what is currently implemented. Totally agree with you, Timo.
One thing I wanted to mention, hopefully last one, because we should maybe move forward to other things. Regarding that, like never and validations, I think maybe I'm missing something, but we already mentioned a few times that you want to, for example, auto accept credentials for the particular connection, and then it kind of breaks current idea, because as you I thought that the always, like auto accept always everything, will be used for these cases, like I want to auto accept the flow for everything what's coming from this particular connection. I thought that's the idea, but now you describe it as it's for a developer reason and it's something dangerous. We should put warnings around this always accept. So that's what I wanted also to mention, that we probably should also remember at this on this like take this case and into account, you know, and into the architecture and how to update this.
I think we can make some sort of like that could be some sort of callbacks or methods that is just like you pass in all the data and it should return whether you should take the next step. And one of those filters could be like checking if it should be auto accepted based on a connection, which is, I think, some metadata that we could store on a connection record.
All that you're talking about, guys, right now is a controller-related issue. This is not AFG. So auto accepting or not, it could be by the controller controlled by, let's say, for example, this kind of entity. If you have any proposal from this kind of entity, auto accept it. It could be option in the controller. And I can manage that in the controller by saving this entity did, for example, the ID, and whatever comes from that controller, the issuer, I will auto accept it. But any other issuer, I will have to verify it and say yes. So this is something really high level, and it's controller issue. It's not the framework issue. I would say it's low priority. This true or false could be controlled, you know, unless, by the way, so it could be done like that if you can dynamically change this, dynamically change this auto accept true or false. But if you only have it true or false, it should be once you initialize the wallet at the beginning of the app running, this is something that should change in the framework. You understand me, guys?
Yeah. I think eventually you can decide about these settings in controller, but in any way, we need to have support for that in the framework. And this is actually the first step to support that behavior. You know, you need to implement these flags, you need to implement it inside the framework. You need to support the dynamic behavior inside the framework. And then, you will be handling it outside the framework from the controller, for example.
Exactly. That's what I'm asking. Dynamically right now or not, that's the issue.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to this? Nope. I think it's kind of heavy discussion, but I'm really happy for this. Okay, great. So another point. I think there are like few pull requests out there, and I wanted to ask you, Timo, about the priority for code reviews, because I went through this one, but I'm not sure. And I think one of them is kind of heavy also. So I wanted to just ask you if you have any preferences or what should I look first? Maybe how do you want to merge that?
I think auto accept truth would be nice to get in the mono repo also, but you also already reviewed it.
Besides that, I
just want them reviewed, and I'll wait with like updating with main until they are reviewed and like comments resolved, because I've spent way too much time resolving merge conflicts the last 2 weeks. I think the auto accept proofs and the mono repo. And I think the mono repo is nice to have merged in, because that will mean that it will be easier for others to contribute, because then they don't have to worry about those merge conflicts. So if we merge that one, then everybody can start like working on stuff again, and then the other ones I'll make
Yeah, of course. I already approved that. I think we can merge it. So that's the first. The second would be this auto accept. And do you have any priorities regarding that 359 and 360?
Maybe do 359 first.
Okay.
I need to make some updates because I think with mediation and the transport work you've done, like there will need to be updates, but like the general flow. And maybe I need to like separate 360 because to be honest, it are four different things I did in one PR, but they're like related to each other. And it's really like, it's just like with PRs being open so long, it becomes like really a struggle for me to separate the tasks. But I'll try to see if I can maybe separate them into multiple PRs.
Yes. Okay. So maybe just let me know. We will do merge of that monorepo. I will look to auto accept, and then I will wait for you to let me know about the next steps. Okay. Great.
Can you just remove that, Jacob? I'll because we are overhauling the whole documentation, so you can just remove that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do we have any other issue for this, or should I just close it?
Yeah, close. Yeah.
Okay. Close. Great. Nice. We solved PR. Okay, so that's another thing. Okay, mediation. Yeah, I think we have like 10 minutes, so I think we won't go through everything, so maybe just shoot what you want to discuss first.
I have to go in the documentation, guys, this week. If you don't have time, anybody who can just go with me in the documentation on a separate meeting, it's okay, but I need the documentation today. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can go with you on a separate call. Okay. I think that may be more efficient to do than with everybody watching, but
when do you want it? But,
I'll send you a message after the call so we can arrange a meeting.
Okay, perfect,
cool. And for mediation, we can skip it for now. We can go to the next topic. I just wanted to make sure, like, I created some issues for the task, like, now that we have mediation merged, like, what still needs to be done. And I think it would be good to go over them. We can also do that next week.
Okay. So, yeah. So, what do you want to discuss now? Now, we have, like, for one point we can discuss right now, I think.
Just one question, guys, I have before we just discuss the last thing. Those mediation issues, do you mean that like the mediation? Because I find that the mediation is working for me perfectly now. So is there anything like new, or is there any?
I think it's still a lot of work to be done there. And maybe a few refactorings, because we did a kind of large PR, large merge yesterday or 2 days ago. And I guess there will be some refactorings maybe. And I haven't tried that yet, so I need to do. There is still kind of a lot of work about the mediation, which is I assume is mentioned. Some of them is mentioned in those PRs, and I wanted to just I edited here for today because I just wanted to mention it that we already did that merge and maybe discuss what should be the next. So
hopefully it doesn't break the already working mediation flow.
It won't change anything. It are more internal issues that need to be resolved to some cases that we skipped for now, or make it easier to use it. But it won't like break up.
Perfect.
Maybe it will change, but it will just be a different configuration setting, not like big API changes.
Nice, very nice. I mean, like, if it will just increase the interoperability, that's really perfect. But yeah, we don't want to stumble upon another problem. So we want to just get the good documentation ready. Yeah,
I think one thing that we do need to tackle is the transports issues, because that's been a long time in progress, and I think we need to resolve some of that. I think that's one of the
big steps. Also for us, because it makes it at the moment like unusable to use, because you don't want to only use WebSockets, and we can't use the PICKET protocol because ECPi doesn't support it. So you're basically stuck in a situation where you can't have ECPi as a mediator yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean multi-transport or other issue with transport? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I think it shouldn't be. Right now, it shouldn't be so big problem, hopefully. So
I think just making it an array and you're done.
Yeah. I think I can look at it maybe tomorrow, depending on code reviews, but yeah.
Perfect.
Okay, so maybe that could be all for today, I guess.
Well, hopefully next week, I would say let's set a target that because I noticed that there is a lot of releases for the AFG framework. Like now it's every two or something, like every 3 days. So let's hope for like this 2 weeks from now, we can at least have a very solid documentation for how to use the framework. Did you notice somebody's asking the same question? Like, is there a flow or documentation? I think you know somebody was asking, yeah, on Bfold. So anyway, let's hope next week I will focus on that once I finish with Timo, a little bit bug you, Timo, sorry for that. I'll be able to overhaul the documentation for the framework and just make it very simple from the point of view of any kind of developer coming in.
Great.
Yeah, awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, okay.
Perfect. And my question to everybody then, like those issues on mediation, if you could take a look, and also the create proof requested credentials issue 382, I think, especially James, for you to take a look at it. And respond on that. We don't have to discuss all issues in on the call, but it would be nice to get your feedback on these things.
Yeah.
Timo, it is the online. Sorry, James, for stopping you. So, is the online mediator enough for our tests that we are doing right now?
The online mediator?
Yeah.
Which online mediator?
The one that I guess it's you posted it on Bfold. Let me check.
In this year is one, right?
This year, yeah, in this year.
Yeah,
you mean like the public. Do you mean an ECPi mediator, or are you already using the latest version?
The Enemo that I
did. Yeah. No, that's still using the old mediator one from like before the mediation. So I'll make sure to update that soon.
Yeah, please, because I use it in my tests. So if it's not working, it will break the whole test. No.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll make sure to update that. I just didn't get to like update our own the app we're working on right now to use the new mediator. So didn't want to break our app before updating it. But I'll make sure to take a look at it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. That's a good
point. Yeah, I have maybe just one point to this. I'm totally like unaware of the flow and case there, but I was kind of surprised that we have this as public API, because I assume that it should be something inside the framework and called by higher level methods. So maybe Yeah, that's kind of my question, if it's necessary to have it outside or not.
Definitely necessary. Because if you want to build like a mobile application and you have, let's say, 10 credentials that could fulfill a proof request, mm-hmm. you want to retrieve the options you have, display that in the UI and give the user the option to select which combination of credentials to use for that proof request. It is, however, on my to-do list to make it a bit easier because we expose some like indie specific things that we could abstract away, but I think it's definitely needed to have this method exposed.
You can have like, you know, you get a proof request and then you pass the proof request into the framework that you want to create proof. And then you can get some options. It could be part of the response to this method, you know, as a result of this method. As a result, you can have something like that. Or not?
I'm not sure I understand.
Maybe not. Okay. Yeah. Then you, in any way, you would need, I guess, two steps in any way. One thing would be, okay. That's right. One method, high level method would be that you can get options, what you can select there. And then another method would be applying this selection to create the proof.
Yeah, it's currently, we have two methods exposed. That's the update that Indicio did to make it like, first it just selected the credentials. What it does now is it gives you the options and you can then choose to let it automatically select it.
Yeah. So I guess, Timo, a little bit of clarification on this would be helpful, because I guess the thought process being is we need access to the credential info in order to display info to the end user.
No, this is like, this is unrelated to that. It's mostly because with the updates in PR 329, like we have a requested credentials object, and that first was just like a direct mapping from an indie requested credentials JSON object to a class. But with that change, there was some extra metadata added that is removed when transforming to JSON, but it's included like in the framework, then returned from the public API, and then you need to pass that in. And if you just outside of the framework transform a proof request or like requested credentials object to a class instance and pass that to the framework, it will error out because it doesn't have the metadata, which was in our opinion a bit like not straightforward, because we already knew how the requested credential objects needed to look, so we didn't use any of those methods, and therefore that specific metadata potential was not there. So basically the question I'm asking here, like, is the thing we were trying to do non-standard and should we do it different, or should we change the API to not necessarily expect that non-standard property on that object?
I would lean forward to the next one, Timo. The more you make it flexible, the better. Just the flow, to get the flow done, you know, to handle this extra parameter by the framework, basically, not by the controller. Yeah, which is your next option, that you said, I'm leaning toward that second option.
So your second option here is
this one.
Yeah, the second option is like I think why it is implemented this way is to prevent like retrieving the credential, the indie credential, from storage multiple times, because we retrieve it again earlier and then we do it again, which is not necessary. So we can attach it so we can reuse it.
Yeah.
What we could do is, if it's not present, we can fetch it in that place. So we won't fetch it two times, but it will be retrieved. Or we say we always retrieve it two times and don't care about performance at the moment. Also an option. I don't have a preference necessarily.
Mm-hmm. I will, given some of that additional context, I'll take a look at what is there and give some additional thoughts in the issue. I think I can't recall if credential info is currently specified as optional or not, because I think that's probably the biggest thing that would need to happen here, correct? And I think that's probably fine to have that be optional. I guess my biggest worry then is if if you attempt to use the created requested credentials in your app, and the credential info doesn't exist, then we wouldn't be able to actually display those appropriately to the user, right?
The only thing that frightens me here is handle this outside the framework, which is a little bit overhead on the controller, as far as I understand. Yeah,
we can always include it like from internals to the public API. I just think we shouldn't expect it as input on the next method call.
I will have to go take a look, but I agree with the general concept. So I'll go take a look at the code.
Yeah.
See what's there. Thank you.
Okay, great. That's nice timing because we are almost at the end of our 1 hour time for this. So I guess that's all for today. So thank you guys for being here, and
well, with your message
to see you next week.
Awesome. Okay,
great.
Thank you. Nice
Friday weekend, and bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.